we may never know, Uther. I intend to live forever.
How dare you show your face here?
Faces.
Don't laugh at that, you idiot!
A lot of story there, a lot of lore. For those of you who are into that kind of thing, I love you.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Lore, the podcast that explores where we've been and where we may go next in the world of Warcraft.
Welcome, everyone, to Live, Laugh, Lore, episode 104. Lore and four rhyme, and I just now realized that, which totally distracted me from everything. Hey, it's a show that likes talking about all types of lore and awkwardly rhyming, because that's what we do. We're awkward and whatnot. Hey, each episode we'll check in, have some laughs, and talk all about the lore of Warcraft, one or two topics at a time. My name is Allie, the one who's really freaking excited about Warcraft Remix, and the guy with me enjoyed Mop enough that he might actually level an alt through Remix, maybe?
Yeah,
it's
probably.
Jin. Yeah, right? Probably. Like, oh, so good. We'll talk about it. But wait. There's more. There's more, guys. We have a very special guest with us today. Dear Lord. We're going to bring it together. It's fine. We are joined by the creator of World of Warcast and basically the godfather of Warcraft podcasting. It's Starman.
Oh, God. It can't be him. That guy retired.
Well, we brought you out of retirement for an episode.
The reality was, last night, Allie says to me, "You need to be on the show tomorrow?" Okay.
Hey, it wasn't just last night. We talked about it previously.
Yes, we did.
Last night, I just verified that you were still good and showed you the notes. That's all.
Hello. Are you?
Hi. We're good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I haven't seen you guys in Meat Space since, what was it, BlizzCon 2019?
I know.
Yeah.
Sitting around a table at Disney.
Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were hanging out there with the Coca-Cola area, as I remember.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I said, yeah, I remember the Coca-Cola. I don't know the name of the place, but it was just Coca-Cola everywhere.
Yeah, it's the Coke place.
Yeah, the Coke place.
It was the awkward moment of trying to get, like, because you both wanted to meet each other, but like Jin was somewhere else and then you were there. And so I'm like, okay, hold on. I'm going to message Jin. We're going to figure this out.
I think I was at Space
Bring
Mountain.
You guys together. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we had to check it out before they changed it away from Star Wars, because now it's just back to regular Space Mountain.
Yeah, I liked the Star Wars one. That was really cool. Well, Starman, what have you been up to? What's going on these days?
Not podcasting.
Not podcasting, that's true.
Not podcasting. Am I still playing WoW? Yes. Am I playing it as often as I used to? No. No, so I retired specifically because podcasting was just taking up way too much of my time, as Allie will say. So we talk about this all the time. Years ago, I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I can't. It's like every time we want to do something on a Saturday or like even during the week, because I would do two shows. I would do the Trek show and I'd do the WoW show. It, like, there was always something that started to get in the way. Like, oh, can you do it? No. I got to do the show. What about this day? Nope. I got to do a show. What if you want to do this thing on a Saturday afternoon? Nope. I got to do a show. And then after a while, it just got to the point where I thought, what's more important? So I just killed the shows. and that was it. So what have I been up to? Still playing WoW. Still playing Overwatch. Right, Allie?
Yep.
Let me see what else. So I've been spending a bunch of time just not gaming as much, but I still do. Like, by not playing WoW, it opened me up to do like a whole bunch of other gaming that I never would have had the time to do. So I'm not going to go down the list of things that I'm playing, but like I've been playing a bunch of stuff with the PS5 and Xbox. Currently getting through Final Fantasy Part 2, Final Fantasy nice. 7 Part 2. And just doing a whole bunch of like personal stuff. The podcast was something that I've always wanted to do. And it was just so much fun for so much time. And it was taking time away from like, oh, I want to another thing that I've been doing lately is I've been building models. And I didn't have the luxury. I didn't have the time to do that because it was always I had to research one show or research the other or record one or the other. Now I can do that. So,
yeah,
I've been doing that. Other things that nobody would really care about, but, you know, just
like spending time with your family, you know, that kind of, you know, kind of important stuff.
Yeah, kind of important stuff.
Yeah, it is important. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, what have you been up to there, Jen?
Me? Hanging out with family and friends. That is basically what I've been up to. In fact, I had a friend stop in town. He was hanging out, stayed the night last night, and it was a lot of fun. You know, we just hung out. I made dinner and chatted. Yeah, this is a guy that I've been friends with since like freaking fifth grade. Yeah, fifth grade.
Wow.
And then after college, he moved to Georgia. So, you know, we don't get to see each other so much. So it was a lot of fun getting to catch up. In fact, you can see right here. See that bronze horse right there?
Yes.
That bronze horse. So so he gave it back to me. Because I had it for years and years and years. And here's the quick, super quick story of what it was. This was actually 4 years of effort at a county fair playing some stupid ass pinball game where the first prize was this cheap, tiny ass plastic horse. Like it was practically the size of an eraser. But like, as you win three of them, you can trade up to the next prize. Ooh. And you know, you got to keep winning and winning and winning. So this was probably like $300 worth of quarters, you know, sunk into that stupid thing.
Was it the same machine?
Yeah, it was the same machine, and we brought it back over 4 years at the county. Like we would basically bring our prize back the next year, and you could keep trading it.
What pinball machine was it?
So it was at the it was like one of those carnival races where it was like you were a little horsey race. And you would
one of those. Yeah.
You do the little shoot the pinball. And if it went down the middle, your horse would go three spaces. If it went down the two middle ones, it would go two spaces. And then if it went on the outside track, it would just go one space. So you're always trying to aim to get it to go through the middle so that your horse would win the race. And you win the race, you get a tiny little cheap piece of crap. Yeah, so you gotta basically keep winning and winning and winning to eventually trade up to the glory that is the bronze horse. There was only two prizes ahead of that one that we tried to get. Eventually, we were trying to get to, there was like this big old golden clock of a horse thing that you could have, but we never made it. We never made it. And that game is probably no longer in existence, so that is the thing. And the funny story about it is I held on to it when he went to college, because this was like, we did this like in elementary and junior high and stuff when we were doing that. And so I held on to it when he left for college. And then when he got married, I gave it back to him.
Was it like his wedding present?
It wasn't his only wedding present, but it was one of his wedding presents.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then he gave it back because him and his wife are going to be traveling around the world for the next year. They're just like, just put their house up for rent, pretty much sold a whole bunch of stuff. And they're hitting the road and they're going to be like kind of like practically backpacking around the world for a long ass time. So,
wow.
Yeah. Good luck to them. But anyway,
you can't do that when you're podcasting.
No,
that's true. That is true.
Although apparently he's going to be trying to do some travel blogging. So, nice. So he'll be trying to video some of the stuff because they're going to go to New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, up to Egypt, and then, you know, hopping through the Philippines. It's all sorts of crazy stuff. So, yeah,
that's so cool.
Yep. COVID burned him out because he was in a construction and like he was a like construction management. And when the supply chain crumbled, work just went to hell, basically. So he's like, I'm done for a while. So yeah, that's what he's up to. But that's what I've been up to. So, hey, Allie, what have you been up to?
What have I been? Well, I played Overwatch last night with Starman because that's what we try to do on Fridays when the Eli doesn't get in the way. Yeah,
it's our Friday night thing.
And I already got 40 in Blunderstorm, so that's done. So really, I'm just kind of chipping away at Tyvon stuff right now to get the meta achievement and finished up some of the treasures and stuff. It's a long list. I'm not gonna go through it all. I'm basically just like knocking out little things here and there. But like, I have more to it than what I originally was looking at, because it's a meta achievement, so it's got a lot of different categories and whatnot. And I looked through some of them. I'm like, all right, that's doable. That's doable. That's doable. And then I kind of stopped looking and went back and looked through it again. I'm like, oh, I haven't touched this one at all. I got to find a bunch of rares over here. Okay, maybe I've got a little more work than I originally was thinking. So, yeah, just trying to knock it out a little bit here and there as I can.
Did you see the good news, though, Allie?
Tyvon's getting to be big again.
Yeah, he's going to be a big boy again. He's going to be a big boy.
I don't know why they had it in their head to nerf his size, but Tyvon is big. He's the best boy, and he's big. And making him smaller takes away his epicness and everything, so...
That's what she said.
There you go. I was waiting for that. And when they did that, the community was very pissed, which I agree. And they listened and then decided that they were going to put it back up. So there we go.
Yep. He's going to be a big fluffy boy again. Not the yes. Shrimpy fluffy boy, I guess.
I mean, I can't, and I don't know. My only thought is that they have the people who use the different toys and stuff to make their mounts big. And maybe just would have made his like way too big. I don't know.
Excuse me? Don't you remember all the crazy ground mounts that you get in Warlords of Draenor? Like the freaking like.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Where you got the big like mammoths and everything. So I don't understand why they thought they had to make Tyvon.
Or like the smaller. Big Gron looking dude. Like.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know why they decided that was a smart idea, but it's not.
Unnecessary.
But yeah, that's Tyvon watch. Still working on it. Also, gotta get my Cobalt assembly up to the highest one. I'm still a medium. That one takes a little bit.
I barely even know what that is.
Over an Azure span, whole bunch of elites. You get like the spells and abilities and stuff. You can like refresh it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that area. I thought it was stupid. I only did the world quest when I needed to.
Like, kind of like outdoor Torghast, but not really.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But that's about it. I feel like we should move on at this point.
Okay. Well, I got a job then, and you wrote some very interesting thing here. So be prepared, everyone. Are you alive? I sure hope so, considering you're listening to this. So I'm assuming, yeah, it's a yes. Do you like to laugh? Do you enjoy hearing two friends have fun talking about the lore of Warcraft? Well, stay tuned to the end of the episode to find out how you can support the show and keep these good times going. Good job, Allie. Now I have the gif of the guy going, but did you die?
It's live, laugh, lore. Get it?
Oh, yeah.
Live, laugh, lore.
Oh,
that's what I was going for, man.
All right. I got it now.
Do you, though?
No. But now I got it.
Okay.
What you talking about? What you talking about?
Well, as we were kind of just plotting ideas for 2024, Jen and I discussed things that can be done during the different lulls that are going to happen throughout this year. We're kind of in one right now. And we thought it would be cool to explore the lore of the Warcraft community. So there'll be episodes where we have content creators on for guests here and there, and episodes where we maybe ask some community questions. And we have some other possible plans up our sleeves that we're trying to pull off. But when you're talking about the lore of the community, a good place to start is the beginning. Kind of like what we've been doing with the Warcraft lore 101 stuff. Start at the beginning. Well, that's where Starman comes in. Hi, Starman.
Hello. How are you?
Good. So not only is World of Warcast the first Warcraft podcast that I ever listened to, it's the first one I was ever on. And it's actually one of the first ones that was ever released. Plus, as an added bonus, like as Mike Starman mentioned, I'm going to call you Mike sometimes. It's going to happen.
Oh, no.
No one knows that ever. That's your name. No. Anyways, we asked Starman on as well, because again, like you mentioned, we all actually got to hang out in person. So who better to have on for this first Lore of the Warcraft community episode than Starman?
Hello.
Hello again.
I'm still here and still alive.
You are.
Yeah,
you're
alive, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. We see this. We have visual proof. You know, like, something I like to think about is the fact that podcasters like Jen and I, you know, we had years to listen to other Warcraft podcasts as part of the inspiration for starting to do it ourselves and kind of plan how we would do things and whatnot. Starman, your first episode was July 2nd, 2005.
Yes, it was. It was a million years ago.
COVID makes it feel like a million years ago, that's for sure.
It really does.
2005. Wow.
Yeah, right.
I was still in the Marines.
It was like two or three weeks after Apple announced that they were going to support podcasts. Like, you know, these kinds of files, MP3s, they're around already. But, you know, podcasts becoming a thing was right around then. And yeah, I wanted to jump on it. So I somewhere in the house, I have a list of podcast ideas. And one of them was just to be like a general gaming show. And I thought, nah, that's no bueno, because what winds up happening is that if you don't feel like playing whatever the, you know, game of the week is, that's it. Like, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know? So that was part of the problem, is that I didn't want this show to be dictated by what was popular. So I decided, well, I'm playing WoW now, so why not just do that?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I called Lindy and I said, do you want to do this? And he said, cool. We didn't know what we were doing. Like, I went to, was it Guitar Center? No. What's the other one? Not Guitar Center. Sam Ash. I went to Sam Ash, got a mixer and a microphone, and everything else I already had. And that was it. Easy peasy. I just had to figure out mic levels and compression and just all the, you know, the fun technical things. But other than that, it was just like, well, like, what was the show going to be about? And the one thing about WoW is that there's so much to it, and there was no organization. Like, I'm not talking about like Thoughtbot. I mean, there was just like, like Thoughtbot was more like a database. Well, I mean, it is a database, but there was nothing that actually said, this is how you go through this quest, and then here's something that you might not know, and then here's how to play a mage, and here's how to play a druid. Nothing. So that's sort of like where lightning struck, is that we were lucky in the sense that because nobody else had been doing that at the time, that everybody just sort of like flocked to the show. That was a lot of fun.
Nice. So what was it like to get the show going and watch other shows pop up, like the Instance, Tavern Cast, All Things Azeroth, and all of the Warcraft Radio?
It was cool because listening to other people, like other people's style, was a lot of fun. Tavern Cast was sort of like more my style, because Bryce and I sort of were cut from the same cloth, so to speak. It's like we both had the same love of like the pop culture. Like, we're the same age. We watched the same dumb stuff on TV. You know, like, he had like, if I had more time to sort of think about like what I would want my show to be, it would be more like Tavern Cast. But I just like jumped into it. But and like just listening to other people, like we're just all like one big group community, all the podcasters. And we all just got to be like instant friends, and we just talk to each other all the time, all the time.
So do you and Bryce or anyone else like from the old days still keep in contact?
Well, unfortunately, Uncle Thursday passed away a few months ago. Bryce sort of fell off podcasting altogether, I think. I mean, I spoke to him briefly about 2 months ago, but just briefly. So no, I don't really talk to anybody else now. And then social media, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole. Like, Allie will tell you, like, social media itself has gotten a little weird. Like, I'm not talking about like people's personalities. I'm just saying like there used to be a time years ago when Twitter was so cool, because it was just all these nerds that were just like working on cool stuff. What are you working on? What are you building? What are you making? What podcast are you making? What app are you building? That's what website are you doing? What like the guy who, like, Justin from Justin TV, I met him at South by Southwest when Justin TV was like nothing. And
oh, nice.
These are the kinds of people that you met over time. But then lately, I think a lot has sort of separated, and now we've got like 5 social platforms. So it's been a little different for me. And on top of it, I've just sort of like pulled away from social media, I found that once I stopped podcasting, people just drop you like a bad habit. they really do. It's like, who? What show? Yeah. So the Discord is like dead, and it's fine. You know, I'm actually happy about it because there was that period of time between like 2005 and 2012 when just like people would just like meet up and come up with these cool ideas. That I don't know if people even do that anymore. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I've just sort of like distanced myself from the whole social media thing. So
yeah, I'm terrible at social media personally. So
yeah,
I barely ever check it.
I try to, but I'm definitely happier when I'm not constantly watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially these days.
Yeah.
And now it's like Blue Sky. You have to look at Blue Sky. You have to look at Threads. You have to look at Hive. You have to look at Twitter. And
it's so spread out now.
It's terrible that it's so spread out. And so what wind up happening with me is that for years and years, I used to use TweetDeck, and I used to have all these columns, and like, I used to organize everything. And I'd like, here are the podcast people. And I actually had a group called Awesome Sauce. It's like, these are the people that I really wanted to like hear from. Yes, you both were in that. Things like that. But nice. He took TweetDeck away from regular people and made it a premium service. And when that happened, I just stopped caring.
Yeah,
I really did.
Yeah, when he ripped the APIs away is when I was like, oh,
yep.
Now it's like, this is dumb. this is really dumb.
And now that's so it's almost as if for me, like the whole podcasting and social media thing is like a part of my life that's now over. And so there was the time before social media and then the social media explosion. And now it's like, when can I retire? Not from podcasts, like in real life. Like, when can I retire? that's what I'm looking at. I'm knocking on the door of retirement. So, yeah.
Yeah, I actually told my wife just the other day. I was like, you know what I'm looking forward to? Retirement.
Yeah. No, it's not it's not a joke. There's a point where you reach where you just go, yeah, I just want to retire and do my own thing. So that's sort of where I am right now, like actual retirement.
Yeah, I get that.
I love the idea of retirement life. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. And we're not even at that age yet. It'd be nice.
Sadly.
Yeah,
I am. So
you are. You've definitely earned it.
Yeah.
Well, I like that you shared that the community back then of podcasters were, you know, like friendly with each other and got along. Cause I was kind of wondering about that. Cause I know in these days, like there's always exceptions to this, but in general, most podcasters, you know, we support each other and it's not so much a competition of numbers and stuff. It's, we're just all a bunch of geeks talking about the game and having fun. You know, it's like, I love hearing that back then it was, and it shouldn't be about, you know, numbers. Cause there's going to be overlap in the communities. I mean, for like Jin and I, like we had more League Grade Dungeon Fables. There was a lot of overlap between those two shows, which made this very natural.
Yep.
But I love that. And I love like the collaboration in the community that happens too. And I know it happens now. And I know it happened some like back in the day. Cause like, I know like some, like the episode that got me to listen to Tavern Cast was when you guys in Tavern Cast did a collaboration. Yeah. Like, and I'm not talking about War of the Murlocs. I'm talking about earlier, like, in the earlier days, and just like you two, you know, like that, like, so do you have some other like memorable collaborations?
War of the Murlocs was freaking hilarious. I still have the script that I printed out. You know, that's like one of those things that I will just never throw away. Even though I have a digital copy of it, it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, I had the notes on it and things like that. But doing War of the Murlocs was so much fun. And other than that, the like, if you want to see what the landscape was back then, just look at all like there were like 7 or 8 major podcasts back then, like in the early days, starting like maybe late 2005, early 2006. And we're all guesting on each other's shows. It's like, oh, you want to be on the show? Sure. You want to be on my show? Sure. And that's what we did. We supported each other by being on each other's shows.
Yeah, it's definitely the easiest way to discover each other. That's the thing I've noticed.
Yeah, yeah. And it helped the community because then people would say, oh, I'm going to listen to that show because I like that person who guested on the show or something.
Yeah, I don't know how many podcasts I found because of someone guessing on another and someone. So yeah, it's always been the like one of my favorite things is whenever people collaborate. And so yeah, I think it's awesome. And yes, I agree. World of Murlocs was freaking hilarious.
It was one of
the best things ever.
It was like the watershed moment of WoW podcasting. It was a lot of fun. As for like people I still talk to, like I still talk to a lot of the co-hosts. I went up to upstate New York for the eclipse, and originally I was going to go and visit Ren where she was, and the cloud cover came in, and so I wound up having to go somewhere else in New York, unfortunately. So, you know, originally we were going to hang out, but that didn't happen. And then she sent me a picture. She says, it's a good thing you didn't come here because there was nothing but clouds. There's like nothing.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm in California, so I didn't see nothing. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. So your last episode of Warcast came out in 2021. Yes. But after starting the show in 2005, I know there were some breaks in there, especially Warlords of Draenor.
Yeah. God, I didn't know what to do with the show then.
Yeah.
I didn't.
That's the only time I stopped playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is still a very long time to continue podcasting. So how actually did you manage to do that? Because that seems impossible.
It's actually relatively easy because, like, this is something I wanted to do as a hobby for a long time. When I was in college, I was a DJ on the radio, like a real FM radio station. Not like, you know, a college thing that just broadcasted in the student center. So, I used to have to like shut the transmitter down at night, like that sort of thing. But it was fun because there are the people that you were working with. There are the other podcasters that you were collaborating with. The community was just amazing. And then you go to BlizzCon and you meet them in real life. And we had like dinners and things like that. You have all these doors that open that you wouldn't have otherwise. And on top of that, just talking about the game, because like I was thinking about this the other day, Allie, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this last night because I did have it on my mind. But, you know, we're just so busy raffle stomping people last night that I forgot to talk about it. We won most of them.
We did pretty well.
But I really miss WoW's heyday. Like those years when like Shatner was doing WoW commercials and things like that. Right. Like those years when it was like, what was it? What was the height of it? Like 12 or 15 million people.
It was like 12 and a half.
Something like that. Where like, Wrath. And it was just everywhere. We're all just loving it. Like I really miss those days, and being a part of like riding that wave really helped until Warlords Draenor. And then like, I remember having conversations with Ren, like, I have nothing to talk about. Like, I hate this expansion so much. I don't know what to do. But those years just kept us motivated because there was, I guess it goes into like, how do you do a podcast about a game when you want to help people play a better game? And that was the easy part. It's like, it was just great because you would log into like a new expansion and there'd be like, for lack of a better term, like so much meat on the bone. It's like you couldn't break it into like 10 episodes. You have to break it into like, well, we're going to talk about this for like the next 15 episodes or something like that. You know, different races, different classes, quests and lore, just so much going on in that. And so the motivation came from that, really was, it was from that wave of those years, those awesome, amazing years. And then real life started to creep in, and I would say, you know what? I just don't want to do this anymore. It's like, I did what I set out to do. And that was the end of that.
Yep. All good things come to an end, I suppose.
And I tell you, like, again, because like Allie and I talk almost every Friday. She knows, you know, we've had these conversations about like real life and things like that, and how some things get in the way. dumb stuff. Like there's a Six Flags Great Adventure near us. And I would say to Allie, like, you know, we have this Fright Fest that they do every Halloween, which is a lot of fun, but I've never seen the parade that they do because it starts at 6. And what does that have to do with podcasting? Well, when you're podcasting on a regular schedule and you end at 6:30, you'll never make it there in time. Dumb things like that. Oh, we want to go to a winery. Can't, because I have to be back by 4 o'clock. Oh, like if we record, that was for the Star Trek show, but like during the week, it would be the WoW show. Oh, we have like the kids are doing something. So like, you know, we can't, you know, like I have to cancel the recording that day and I don't want to. That's when things started to bubble up and say, oh, okay. Real life is a little more important.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Those years, man, those years were so much fun.
Did you ever think, like back when you started the show, you know, you're planning it, and like us, we had other shows to listen to and like be inspired by, and you were just like, I'm just gonna start this show, like I'm just gonna pave the way for everyone else. Like, did you ever think the community, not just content creation, but just the community in general, did you ever think it was going to get that big?
No.
And swell to like 12 million or whatever?
No, I've said this, but well, you have to understand that like a lot of us came off of EverQuest, which. Right. Didn't have a lot of, I think the biggest number in EverQuest is like 1 million spread across how many different servers. You had PvE and PvP servers, and then you had the red servers, and then they had different kinds of servers. They were like permadeath servers. And so that number wasn't, yeah. And so, yeah, what wound up happening on these hardcore servers is that you'd start as level 1, you walk out, and there are like level 60s out there ready to stomp you right there.
That's terrible. So,
nope, don't like that.
I didn't think, because when I was growing up in high school, junior high school, we started playing D&D. All this stuff was for the nerds, right? No idea that WoW was going to take off as much as it did. And I bet you it took even Blizzard by surprise. I would put money on that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there's well-documented proof that took it by surprise with their server infrastructure at the time.
Yeah. No, I had no idea that the podcast was going to do so well. I had no idea that I was going to make the friends I did. I had no idea. No idea. I just wanted to do something because I just wanted to do something new, and I love radio, and I just wanted to do something. And that was it. And I took a leap because, like, what do you have to lose? You know, yeah. $150 in equipment, big deal.
Right.
I want to tell you this funny story. I almost got charged $2,200 from the hosting company, because remember, podcasts were new back then. Nobody was throwing files. Nobody was throwing MP3s up on anywhere. Where do you put it? There was no Amazon Web Service. There was none of this stuff. So I put my MP3s up there thinking, I'll get like, I don't know, a few hundred people and that would be it. Well, I don't think I've ever actually talked about numbers before. So here, the first few episodes had, because you had like the little spreadsheet and it said like, these are the number of downloads that you had. I had 102,000 downloads.
Wow.
Or something like that. I have the spreadsheet still. I found it recently. I'm hovering around 100,000. Multiply that by the cost that it takes. And the hosting company said, oh, here's your bill for this month. It's $2,200. And I'm like, there is no way in hell I'm paying that. And then I found a clause in their little contracting that says that if you go over a certain point that we will tell you, and they didn't tell me. Oh. And so they never charged. So I never had to pay it.
Beautiful.
Yep. Good catch.
Yep.
I can't even imagine having to handle publishing that way and to be surprised by that kind of bill.
There was no feeder app, because I would use feeder on the Mac for publishing. I had to do everything by hand, like everything. And then another thing I was telling Ali about this the other day is that I have like the raw podcast files are spread across like 5 different backup hard drives, and so I'm consolidating them into one, and then I'm just gonna like, I don't know, put it on a hard drive and then put it away. I found my episode 1 edit folder. I edited the podcast. I think I had 30 plus edits for the first episode because I had no idea what I was doing. I was taking out every single and just dead silence and things like that. And I would listen to the episode. That's why I used to, like, we would record it on like a Saturday, and it would take a week for it to come out because I was just sitting there doing it. And then one day, like around episode 10 or 11, I just said, screw this, I'm not doing this anymore. And I just learned not to say or ah as much.
I think every podcaster has that exact journey, because I did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to get to that point, because especially for a good chunk of Dungeon Fables, even towards the end, I mean, I got better with the ums and the ahs.
Mm-hmm.
And I found ways to edit out the breaths as much, but definitely, especially in the beginning, it's been a long time editing those out.
It got to the point
it was
where
painful.
I would do what was called almost editless podcasting, where I would record, I would mark if there was something that really needed to be edited. And I would just go back and I would go clip, 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 export. It would be out in 15 minutes.
Yep,
that would be the end of it.
That's kind of what I do now, too. Until I happened to stumble upon a mark that I put in there and I thought was really funny. And I'm like, oh, I got to put a little stupid sounder in here because I'm dumb and I have to put silly sounders in.
Yep.
You're not dumb. You're entertaining.
I just think it's goofy. Like, I don't even know what silly sounders I put in the last episode, but I know I put a couple in there. I can't even remember off the top of my head. Oh, man. So speaking of the community, I just got to know.
Yeah.
So this is something that I've been curious about, because for the longest time, I was just an observer. I was a member of the general population, if you will. So just chilling out, being a consumer of podcasts. And I didn't really engage in the forums. I'll admit something. I don't think I have ever rated or reviewed a podcast. So I'm one of those guys. I just listen. I just download.
I have. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe like I think I did for Dungeon Fables, just because, you know,
I think you did.
Yeah. So I think I did that one a couple, but like vast majority that I listen to, I don't do that. But so anyway, from that perspective, I'm very curious. How do you think the community has actually changed over the years? Has it gotten better, worse, or is there just different pockets?
Well, the gaming community, as you know, is always going to be the gaming community. But I think it's sort of like Twitter. Like at first, it was really awesome. And then people found a way to annoy others intentionally or not. Because
that never happens. What?
At first, like when the podcast first came, well, I don't even want to talk about like my show specifically, but the community was always very helpful. Like, I came from the EverQuest community, and the EverQuest community was insanely helpful. They were like the nicest group of people ever. And then you go into the WoW community, and it was nice at first, but then towards like the end of vanilla, it'd be like, you know, you accidentally tag something and expletives fly or something like that. That'd be the gaming community. The podcast community was good, because we would get like I still have some of the voicemails that people would send, and they would send in like the nicest, greatest, like, oh, this is so and so. I play a priest on such and such server, and I just have this question, or I just want to make a statement. Like if somebody wanted to correct you, they would correct you respectfully. Like they would understand that you're doing this for the community, and they're going to give back by being respectful. Then it turned into, I can't believe, like, you read these reviews. I can't believe that, like, these guys are just wrong all the time. Like, don't tell me I'm wrong all the time. We spend days researching stuff. It's like, what do you mean, like, we're wrong all the time?
All the time.
All the time.
So dramatic.
I know, really. but the community overall has always been, at least for us, has always been mostly respectful. That's a guild name right there. Mostly respectful.
Mostly respectful. There probably is. I bet if we Googled it, I bet there is a guild name.
Yeah, mostly respectful. We're mostly, you know, Jin over there, he's an ass.
When I think back at the community, I can't really think of anything wrong. Nothing bad. So like what has changed? Not much. It's just you just get these, you know, pinheads that just want to cause strife, and that's about it. People got more and more brave about it as the years went on. But no, for the most part, it's been pretty good.
Well, that's good to hear. All my experience so far has been pretty dang positive. I don't think I've gotten anything negative. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, at least not much. Maybe just a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you said, the couple pinheads.
Yeah.
And that's always going to happen. I mean, if you take time to actually read comments, for example, especially on like Warcraft's posts, like it can get pretty bad. Like there's definitely still plenty of toxic areas of the community. But the ones who like interact with podcasts and, you know, are more involved, like, and not just armchair warriors who want things their way or they're going to be pissy about it. You know, they tend to be pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
Do you have any, like, you know, with the community, you got BlizzCon and you've had different interviews and you've just, you know, from all these years, like, do you have any highlights from
anything? So when I interviewed the guild, the cast of the guild, like Felicia and
oh, I forgot you did that. That's right.
Yeah, that was that great. Was so good. And so here, podcast collaboration. So I had Molly from Women of Warcraft. She held the camera while I was doing the interview. So we like these are just the things that we all do. You know, like, we all just like help each other. That was a lot of fun. The interview, I don't know, might still be up on YouTube. I don't know. But, you know, it's still, you know, the audio is still there on the podcast. I don't know what episode number it is. And so that was great. And then getting interviewed by Jeff and Kat on the BlizzCon, like, news desk, whatever you want to call it. So I'll tell you a funny story about that. I'm sitting there. I'm with Molly. And what beta was it? Was it? I don't know if it was. God, I don't remember what year it was. But anyway, so we're playing whatever beta was out at the time at BlizzCon. You know how they set up that area where everybody can play what's stations, coming up next? Yeah. So I get this text from Kat. Can you be on the stage in a few minutes? Like, so I said to Molly, she said, can you and Molly be on the stage in a few minutes? I'm like, yes. So the way that we were set up is that the stage was like behind us about 50 feet. So I turn around and I said to Molly, I said, we got to get to the backstage. The cat wants us for the show. So we run back there and we get makeup on, like, weird for me. And and just like we do the thing. And it was just so much fun. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Just meeting people. You know, I met so many people. Oh, I can't remember his name. Who runs Doghouse Systems? I met him. The people that... did figure prints, if you remember that. The early days of 3D printing. Yeah, that. And like where that was like now you can just 3D print your stuff. And just like talking to fans of the show, people that asked
that service. The paper craft or something. Something like that. Where they would make like busts of your character if you uploaded your armory.
I still have it. Yeah. In my living room, I still have mine. Nice. You know, just meeting the other podcasters, like always fun. Those are my highlights.
Awesome. So before I move on to the next question, so I just have to tell the one thing too, since you were talking about Felicia Day, I do have one little weird flex brag thing because
do it.
When I was in San Diego around 2005, 2006, probably 2007 too. I don't know exactly. It was one of those 3 years that I just mentioned. I used to go to Comic-Con all the time back when Comic-Con, basically before Marvel ruined Comic-Con, the Marvel movies anyways.
No, he's not wrong.
For example, the very first San Diego Comic-Con I ever went to, I walked up to the front door the day of the event and bought my ticket.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. You've seen the Big Bang Theory where they're like, refresh, 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 trying to get the freaking tickets. There was not like that.
Comic-Con was the same way. New York was sort of like ruined by San Diego too.
Well, sorry. But anyway, yeah, so during these hilarious early days, you know, and the guild and all that kind of stuff, they had some event or something where you could just get in line. And the event was play Rock Band with the guild.
So
I have.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I have pictures of me playing Rock Band with Felicia Day and, you know, the rest of the cast of the guild.
I feel like you need to find those pictures and put them in our Discord.
I will throw them up there.
Okay.
All right. So I also have one very important question that I just thought of that I have to ask. So I wasn't there at the time. I didn't start playing until BC. So this one doesn't remember this either. And you've been podcasting since then. What was it like podcasting during the whole the blood plague event?
Oh, the blood. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a funny story about that. About a year ago when they were doing Vanilla Classic, Ren, because Ren works at Wowhead now, and she says to me, do you have any pictures of the blood plague? I'm like, you know I do. So I sent her the pictures. I wish to God I took more. I really do. But I had pictures of Ironforge where like everybody's dead. And I shared them. So now they're on Wowhead. But those, God, those days were so awesome because here I am. Like there was no flying then.
Right.
Right.
And so if you had business with an NPC or something, you wanted to sell your gear or something, you had to be very careful about it. You could have gone to another NPC outside of town or something like that. But like those few days where everybody was dying and I got hit with it too. eventually.
It's kind of like COVID. I got it eventually.
No. Right. It was. Like I wasn't getting it at Disney World. So yeah, you did get it eventually. I don't remember what episode it was. I'm pretty sure we talked about it. I just remember being amazed that as a software engineer, that this bug propagated the way it did. Because I tell this to people, it's like, you know, WoW is like the prettiest spreadsheet you'll ever use. Because that's what the game is.
Giant it's a spreadsheet,
right? It's a giant database. To watch this happen, like to have the user interface just do this thing where it the plague just propagates from a pet. Yeah. Those days were wild. And I just, you want to say, I wish that something like that would happen again. But again, heyday of WoW. I think today what would wind up happening is that people would get more mad. Like people did get mad back then, but I think they sort of understood what was happening. Whereas now people expect like everything to be perfect. And, they would just like run to the forums and start complaining. But those days were different. We all had fun with it. As much as we could. It was a challenge. It's like, oh, I've got to turn this. For example, was I raiding then? I don't remember if I was raiding, but like, let's say you had to go to an NPC. I'm just going to do an example. You had to get the water for Molten Core, right?
Yeah.
Right.
If somebody was there with the plague, what do? Like, you have to get your water for Molten Core. I think you got it from, a water elemental in Azshara, if I remember correctly.
Something like that.
Yeah. If somebody's there and they've got the plague and you're stuck. You can't do it. If you're trying to run around and farm and you come across somebody that's got the plague or something and they run by you, now you've got it. It was a challenge to do what you had to do and not get killed. But if you saw, I'll have to see if I can dig up the pictures again. But everything is dated and I have everything in folders, so I can probably find it pretty easily, but just skeletons everywhere in Ironforge.
That is awesome.
Crazy.
Speaking of challenges, mm-hmm. not just the blood plague, after podcasting for that many years, like there's challenges, you know, there's things you have to do to overcome them. And sometimes it's just taking a break. And other times it's, you know, maybe taking a step back and joining the community. Like what did you do to overcome any like challenges you came up against?
The biggest challenge was getting started.
I think that's not almost every podcaster's challenge. Then.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I said, you had to edit your RSS feed by hand.
I didn't even think about that. Oh God.
Yeah. You had to edit your XML file by hand.
Nope.
Yeah. Until there was an app that did it for you. But apart from that, there was a technical aspect. There was writing things down, as I say, just writing things down, figuring out what is the best flow. Those were the early days. Like, you know, the early challenges are the same for everybody else. Like you right. have your personality, you know, you may or may not have a co-host, you know, how can the two of you like play off each other? That sort of thing. You know, do you want the show to be serious? Do you want it to be funny? Like what is your show going to be? What is the personality of the show? So that was the first part of it. As time went on, the challenge was reading your audience, like what do they want and what do they not want? And how can you break it down where you want to do something that's important? Maybe more than 50% of your listeners might not care about it, but you want to you want to make everybody happy, which is always a challenge in itself, is making everybody happy.
Right.
Scheduling, you know, is always a challenge. But I guess every podcast goes through that also. But the challenge was always, how do you keep the show fresh? How do you keep a show going for, you know, 15, 16 years and still keep people listening? And then there is the other problem, which was, oh, our numbers are dying. What? War Lord of Draenor. So what do you do when you are not happy with what you're talking about anymore? And so now I could be wrong about that. I know the latter half of something and the beginning half of the other thing, but I don't know what happened in the middle. I remember having these conversations with Bren. Like I said, this game is driving me nuts. I can't do a show about this because I log in and I don't even like playing, let alone talking about it. But then I remember, I might be wrong about if we both got into Alpha, Friends and Family Alpha, but what was the next expansion after Warlords? Was it
Legion?
Legion. Right. Legion. I was thinking Battle for Azeroth for some reason. I think we're both in Legion, and we're just talking to each other about how much we liked the Alpha and said, oh, do you want to do the show again? Yes. It was right there, and it was immediate. Yes, we just want to do the show again. So we knew that we knew what we wanted to do, and we knew that we had a lot of fun with it, and we knew who we were and what our style was. So I guess the counterpart of a challenge is also knowing where your strengths are. What are you good at? Ren and I could talk about the show for hours, but you know, we try to keep it to an hour so we don't bore people to death. I don't know if you could, I listen to podcasts sometimes that I go, well, how long is this episode? 4 hours? No.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Oh, did I tell you? I think, I don't know if it's on an iTunes review, but there was one person who wrote to us early, within maybe the first 10 or 20 episodes, who said to us, every podcast should be no longer than 30 minutes. And then we would get other people that would say, your podcast is exactly an hour. And I love that it's exactly an hour because that's the perfect amount of time. We're just like, hey. So
can't we kept everyone. It to
an hour because you guys know. It's like you can't cram a bunch of useful information and banter and talking and tangents into 30 minutes. That's impossible. You can't do it.
Yeah, it's rough. Especially with our getting off the rails.
What rails?
Right. So the challenges were always there, but I think what you got to do is you have to sort of trust in your co-hosts and trust in the material that you're doing, and trust in yourself. You know, you're going to hit the record button and you're just going to do something awesome. And that's it. Another thing, just real quick, and I'm Allie knows I don't pat myself on the back, but you do have trusting. It made me think when I said trust in yourself, you have to know what you're good at, and you have to know that you can just keep talking. You might flub a little bit here and there, but you have to if you're doing any kind of media, you have to know what you're good at, and just roll with it.
Yeah, so, I definitely resonate with that quite a bit because there's plenty of stuff that I know I suck ass at.
Yeah, me too.
One of those being serious. I suck at being serious.
Oh, I can't do that. What are you kidding me?
No, I can't do the serious.
No way.
No.
So serious.
Today's news. No, I can't do
boom,
that.
Boom, 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 boom. No, I can't do that. So, all right. So you actually are not obviously currently podcasting. This is we've already well established so far. But obviously you still play, you still follow Warcraft and all that stuff. And you probably at least were watching BlizzCon, especially since it was free.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Time. I almost went this year. The only reason why I didn't go to the last one was because of COVID.
Yeah.
Only to find out that several of the people that I would have spent time with got COVID. So it was just as well that I didn't go. Yeah, but
I escaped scot-free, thankfully.
Yeah, we did too, thankfully, yeah.
Yeah. I am still, I'm not as active as I used to be. Like I said, I'm trying to, do my own thing. And whatever time was not... Whatever time the game and the podcasting was taking up away from me, I am now putting time into. But I still play. and I still follow BlizzCon, and I still follow the news. And, you know, like I said, almost went to BlizzCon. I'll go to the next one. You know, I'm still there. It's just I can't put the dedicated time into it. Like I if I need to take a break, then I got to take a break.
Right.
But for me, yeah, the break was like 3 years.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, could Ren and I just like fire up the podcast tomorrow and do another one like willy nilly really? Without any notes? Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I know the two of you could.
Yes.
Yeah. So what did you actually think about the announcement of the World Soul Saga and that craziness?
Oh, okay. I was really impressed with it. The story of the Nerubians, right? I almost said a Nubricon.
He's one of them.
Yeah, no, he is. No, the reason why that stuck in my head is because that was like when you do Nax 40,
yeah.
You know, and the Nubricon was always our first boss. That's why it stuck in my head. But I really think that the story is doing well. By the way, that cinematic was just like amazing. The amount of work that the cinematic team put into that just alone was really impressive. Good at those. Like, they're, yeah, really, they're getting really good at those.
Yeah.
So let me just talk briefly about Dragonflight. Dragonflight was a lot of fun, but just like with everything else, I had to like take some time off for myself. I still log in once every week or two or something, but what I do is I try to do like old achievements or something like that. And I did all the quests up to the Emerald Dream, and I haven't actually stepped foot into that yet. And I have to, and I've been meaning to, and I want to. But the reason why I'm mentioning that is because I always find with every expansion, like people complain about expansions. Like I liked Shadowlands. Did I love it? No, but I liked it. I if you had to ask me like what was wrong with Shadowlands, I don't have anything that I could be mad at or anything. Battle for Azeroth was the one before it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shard collecting, I hated. I hated shard collecting. Drove me nuts. And so Shadowlands I liked, Dragonflight I liked. And so with The War Within and that trilogy, I guess you can call it a trilogy.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. It's like I'm really excited about that because I have to put my trust in like the fact that the team Metzen, you know, coming back and everything, like they would learn from what went wrong. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I'm just like, if people didn't like Shadowlands, if people didn't like Battle for Azeroth or like Dragonflight, like if they could learn from that and build like this epic thing, that would be great. Now, that said, I do play Final Fantasy 14, and one of the things that I love about 14 is that their storyline is epic. And I know people would say, well, you know, WoW storyline is epic also. Yes, it is. Of course it is. It's epic. They're epic in their own ways. Right. Again, not putting WoW down, and I'm not putting 14 above WoW. I'm just saying it's like apples and oranges. They do their things in different ways, but the long game that Square Enix plays, I don't know. It's I don't have the words for it, but it just feels better for me. And then I think that WoW might be and I don't want to say copying, but it seems like they're sort of adopting that sort of style from 14. And if they are, and Blizzard does things in their own way, and that's great, I think it's going to come out fantastic. I really do. I think that it's going to be amazing, and I'll be there on day one.
Nice. Well, so, I am looking forward to it. That's mm-hmm. that's gonna be amazing. Mm.
I pre-ordered my epic digital version.
Nice.
I don't do the physical ones anymore because I just have no space. It's like these giant boxes. Like I think I've vanilla all the way to Legion. Yeah, I have vanilla all the way to Legion in boxes of the collector's editions, and then I just said nope, I'm doing digital now.
Yeah, I don't have a single one, so.
I have Shadowlands. It's on top of the you can't see it on the camera, but it's on top of the shelf. I have Shadowlands. Part of it for me is I like some of the goodies in there. Some I don't. Like, for example, I still have my Shadowlands mouse pad that I do need to really replace at this point, but I like it. Like, it's cool. So
I have my Battle for Azeroth one right here on my desk.
Nice.
On my, it's on my PC. My PC setup.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's a question. Like, so you're talking about like the story for Final Fantasy and Warcraft, and overall, how do you? Because this is a lore show, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How do you feel about the lore of Warcraft, just overall? Like, you have played different MMOs over the years, and you have you know been obviously heavily invested in Warcraft. Like, how do you feel about the lore of Warcraft in general?
The lore of Warcraft. I will say this is that I like the lore of WoW, but I'm only mentioning 14 because of how my attention with 14's story and their voice acting and how things go from point to point to point to point. I seem to pay more attention to the way that Square Enix does their storytelling than I do with WoW, because what WoW does is that Square does this too, is that they weave everything into quests, and of course they do their cutscenes and everything like that. But there's just something about the way that it's written in 14, whereas in WoW, it just seems to be not disconnected, but it's split. It's split to the point where, you guys tell me if I'm wrong here, or tell me if you can understand what I'm saying, is that you go from point A to point B, right? And then there's a bunch of stuff happens, and then you can conceivably forget what happened in B, and now you're off to C, and you just go, what just happened? I forgot what happened in B. And I get lost for some reason in the way that WoW tells its story. And then you sort of like gather pieces of it and go, oh, okay. Or maybe I have to read something online and I just go, oh, okay, so he's doing the thing with the okay, got it. And I get lost in the way that WoW tells its story. Whereas with 14, I was just like mesmerized by it. So you two tell me, like, if you agree with me or if I'm crazy.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I will play through, like, I'll be honest. Playing through the game is honestly some of the hardest way to actually ingest the lore. If you're just questing or going through a dungeon or raiding, they try and throw it in there, but they don't interrupt you enough and say, hey, everybody, look at this. Like, for example, best example that I could think of is the other side, right? In Battle for Azeroth.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of really cool lore, a lot of great things happening right now. But what is the rest of your team doing? They're still going. And I'm like over here staring at Bonsomni and just like, oh, what are you saying? Well, this Masala did this sound.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, wait, what, Jin, what are you doing? Like, come on, we're still pulling.
Allie, why'd you stop healing us? that happens.
Yeah, so yeah, it's very scatterbrained sometimes, like you said.
It's hard, it is
actually, even me as I'm playing through and taking notes and taking screenshots of quest texts and pace. Until I go back and reflect on what I just did, I don't always necessarily know what happened. Unless it's obviously like a big cutscene and it's like, you know, big and flashy and in your face, then it's like, I understand what's going on there.
Yeah. So that's the problem that I have with it, is that I think that they need to tighten up the way they tell their story. They can do it in dungeons and things like that. One of the other problems that I find is that you can sometimes, or maybe all the time, you can do a dungeon outside of the path of the lore. So you're doing like, I don't know, the other side or something like that. You just walk in like, what the hell is going on? I have no idea what's going on with this. And I just get completely lost. And so they use the cutscenes well in WoW, I think. But if you're lost leading up to the cutscene, then the cutscene is, I don't know, I guess maybe its impact is a little lessened.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things that I've been hoping that they use with the new follower dungeon feature is I hope they lock you out of the dungeons until you've progressed to the point where the story is, at least maybe on your first playthrough. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll just go nuts, but you know, it's your second playthrough or something like that, right? But because you're right, if you just queue up for, you know, Dungeon Finder or something like that while you're leveling, because, you know, everyone knows that might be usually a pretty, you know, efficient way to level, you could pop into a dungeon and you're like, wait, what now? What even is this?
Yeah.
And
now, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and the other side is another perfect example. the stuff Bonsamdi and Wazala were talking about, if you weren't thick and deep into the lore, you were like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's exactly. It's definitely, like you said, a little bit of an issue that they need to tighten
up. As for the lore itself, I think that I think it's fine. I'm amazed at how they can keep the story going, because I try to look at things comical sometimes and I just go, just let these guys take a break for a minute. It's like,
technically they got a 3-year break.
I know. What were the two expansions where like you age, like technically it was like 5 or 7 years later?
That was between Shadowlands and Dragonflight. There was a 5-year gap between the beginning of Shadowlands and the beginning of Dragonflight. And it was it was a 3-year gap between the end of Shadowlands and Dragonflight. Yeah, because everyone was talking about, oh, they're gonna do this big like fast forward into like 1,000 years into the future, and they're they did three.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I haven't played as much lately, so I can't really comment too much about like anything past like getting to the Emerald Dream, because I haven't been there. So sorry about that. But the interweaving of all the storylines, I think is pretty well done. You just have to pay attention to what's going on. I don't know. I like Shadowlands. I love the story. I love the different areas that you had and all the stories inside those. I seem to have paid more attention to that. I don't know, for whatever reason.
It was different.
Yeah, it was definitely different. Yeah. But I think now, again, it's been a while since I played 14's main story. But I just remember not wanting to log off. I wanted to see what happened next. Whereas with WoW, it's like they sort of like spoon feed you in different sections. It's like, oh, well, here's a patch and it's, you know, like, here's going to be the next part. Whereas with 14, you can finish the entire main storyline, you know, in as much time as it takes you to do it. And I think that's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know if I tried to play 14 right now, I'd have a lot of main storyline to go through. It's probably the main.
You have a lot. Oh my God. Vanilla, like ARR, just that alone would take you forever. There's just so much going on with that. I think they have catch up now. I think you can, I don't remember if they have catch ups or not, but good luck with that.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
it's
one of the reasons, like for, I think a good example is like Final Fantasy 14 is kind of like Naruto or like One Piece to me, where everyone's like, oh, it's so good. It's like, but it's like there's 1,000 plus episodes. Nope.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
You're right.
Yeah, it's a little too daunting. It's kind of like WoW with the whole level squish thing. They're like, don't tell people it's 120 levels. X-Nam 120, and I get any new players if it's 120. They hear 120 and they're like, that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they didn't squash it and now it'd be like, 140?
Yeah, 140, like 150? Well, let's see. They squished it in Shadowlands, so...
Yeah, so it'd be 120
to 130. So like if they, well, and also they did that weird jump in there where at one point they only went 5 levels because they're like, what are we gonna do? So they may
getting real high.
Maybe it was 125. Maybe they go 130. I don't know. Who knows what they were gonna do if they didn't squish it? Yeah. Goofy ass old game where they keep squishing things.
Yeah, and I didn't somebody at BlizzCon mention the fact that they're gonna finally address the fact that there's a giant sword in Silithus?
Yep.
Yeah. What sword?
Yeah. What sword?
What sword?
Yeah. They're definitely going to be addressing that. That is, I mean, it was even in the cinematic, right? You know, Thrall turn and goes, they were aiming that at something.
Yep. Yeah. That's true. It's a long game for sure. Well, you guys know, Allie and I talked about this maybe like a year or two ago, but there was a giant map that Blizzard had made a long time ago, maybe back in like the Warcraft 3 days or something like that. And like Shadowlands was in there and things like different, I don't want to use the word areas, but like
the cosmology chart.
Cosmology chart. Right. How much of that is left?
Almost all of it. Like in terms of places we visited, we have visited the Elemental Plains.
Yeah.
Shadowlands and now Emerald Dream. So in like the circle, like because it was like, it was like circles and circles and circles. We've basically just been here. We haven't really seen any of the outer other than like, because the cosmology chart is a little weird and it shows the reality, and the Emerald Dream was kind of like really close to Azeroth, and Shadowlands was really close to Azeroth. But at the same time, the way they talked about the Shadowlands is that this was also the realm of death. So they haven't really explained it super well, in my opinion, but we definitely haven't been to like some realm of light. We haven't been to the realm of nature. We haven't been into the void, other than maybe a little, maybe like somehow into the realm of void when we're hanging out with the in Legion, the Locust Walker guy, with Illyria and all that. But yeah, I mean, other than the influences of the forces, there's not, that we haven't actually visited like any of the other ones.
Hey, you know, Editor Jen, just jumping in here real quick to say technically Outland is located within the Twisting Nether, and we've been to the Twisting Nether multiple times, so that's kind of the realm of chaos, so just throwing that out there. Okay, back to the interview.
I was just wondering if they were looking at, like, years ago they said, oh, we have our expansions laid out for the next 10 years. Well, that was like almost 10 years ago. It's like well, how much of WoW is left, you know, before you finally say, because the long game is like what, you know? And I don't know. Do you guys have an idea of like what the end of WoW would be? Like where it's leading to?
If I were to make a guess, the end of WoW would be whatever the last Titan is. And they're like, oh, but this is going to be setting up the next 20 years of WoW. So it really feels like they're going to really like almost like a hard stop, or not necessarily a hard stop, but like this is the end of this chapter of WoW. Like they really tried to say where Shadowlands was like a new book in World of Warcraft or something like that. That way. Like that's how, you know, Steve DeNuser kind of like talked about it. You know, whatever this whole trilogy in The Last Titan is, it really does feel like after The Last Titan. So sometime in 2031, if we think about it that way, you may have like a whole new cast of characters that have cropped up that we're going to be hanging out with. I mean, we'll obviously see the old ones still too, but it feels like it might be. I think that's why they're kind of drip feeding all these other characters in from these past expansions to then start using those, like, you know, Talia for Dragon, you know, Flynn, you know, everyone loves Flynn. We bring him back.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, we do. I like Talia too. She was a good character. I liked her.
Yeah,
because like WoW's 20th is coming up in November. And I was just wondering if they're going to do something with that, because the expansion comes out in was it August? When does the expansion come out?
We don't know yet.
We don't have a release date. We just have a rough
area of where it is on the roadmap.
I believe it was fall is where it landed on the timeline.
It was fall. Okay. It's fall sometime.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows what they're going to do for the 20th anniversary, if anything. You know, there are always going to be those 2 weeks for the achievement, but they've got to do something good.
Yeah.
I'm curious. We'll have to see, because there's some debate on if there's actually going to be a BlizzCon this year, because, you know, Microsoft just took over and BlizzCon doesn't really make money. And even if Microsoft was on board with continuing BlizzCons, with them just taking over, like, they probably need a year, you know, time to adjust and settle and get, you know.
Yeah, to the culture and.
Yeah, right. Like, so, but there's some debate in the community on if there's going to be another BlizzCon at all. But it's
ever.
Yeah. Because it costs money. Does not make that money. Unless Microsoft handles it differently, which, you know, they might. But yeah, so there's some debate on if there's going to be one at all.
Yeah, we should have heard whispers of it at least soon from Blizzard, because they usually start announcing it.
Yeah, it's looking like there may not be one this year is kind of the general guess going on right now.
Well, then we should all just go to Disneyland anyway.
I love Disneyland. Like, I just recently got a new flatware set from Disneyland. I have little Mickeys in them.
Nice.
So I'm all for going to Disneyland.
I'm trying to figure out how to do Disney World in a day. Sorry, go ahead, Allie.
Can you actually do Disney World in a day? Is that possible?
It's possible. Like, getting there is not a problem. It's getting back. Because if you want to stay for the fireworks, then getting a red eye back is hard. But if you leave at like 6:30, you can do it. But then you miss the fireworks.
In a day, including travel, I feel like that's impossible.
I've done that with Universal Studios Hollywood. I guess I've never been to Disney World.
Well, yeah.
But from here, it's like a 2-hour flight. So it's like nothing.
Fair.
It's like driving down to, you know, a little past Philly. You know, it's not a big deal. But it's just the getting back. If you want to get back at a reasonable, because you figure if if the fireworks at what, 9:30 in the summer. So if the fireworks are at 9:30 and they end at 10, then you got to get back to the airport to Orlando. Then you're there at 11. And then what, you're going to take a red eye at like midnight and then get back by 2? There comes a point where you just go, no. You can do it if you're 20.
Yeah, I get that.
Yep. Well, before we do start wrapping up, I have one more question I've actually been wanting to ask you for a little while now, and I just keep like forgetting to ask you. Yeah, obviously, you know, you've been involved in the Warcraft community for a long time. You did Trek podcasts and everything, and yeah, and granted, the Trek community is far bigger than the Warcraft community and much more expansive, and it has lasted much longer. But you were still, you know, involved in part of that. Like, how do you feel like the two different communities compare?
Oh boy.
In general.
That's a tough question. So like, I've been part of the Star Trek community for my first Star Trek convention was in 1975.
Right.
So sort of go from there. Star Trek has like a leg up on that and, you know, compared to WoW, but the community, see, the Trek community is weird. It's like, you get the people that just want to talk about Trek, just like, you know, there are people that just want to talk about WoW. But then you get like the fringe people that are always like, well, it should be this. Like the word, what bugs me in any fandom is the word should. Word should just like, it irks me because there are always people that think that, you know, people or shows or games or something should do this. And maybe they're right, but not always. So the Trek community, I don't know, because now it seems like the more I think about your question, the more I think about like the Trek Reddit, right? And the WoW forums. And of course, there are always going to be people that complain. There are always going to be people that don't. They both are very passionate about what it is that they're talking about, be it, you know, WoW or Trek or something like that.
Right.
God, I don't even know how to answer that question, because The fringe, here's the argument. I'll put it to you this way. There is a story I'll tell you offline, but I don't want to bring attention to it here. out of respect for your show, I don't want to bring attention to it here. But there are people on both sides in any fandom that want to change things, not necessarily for all the right reasons.
Okay. Yeah.
Their heart might be in the right place, but the way they do it is not necessarily correct. And both like Star Trek and Blizzard have made great strides, you know, to sort of bring things up to modern social standards. And that's been really, really awesome. But there's a right way to do it from the fandom point of view. I'm not talking about from the company's point of view. There's a right way to discuss it. There's a very wrong way to discuss it. And I think what winds up happening sometimes is that the wrong way, the extreme negative way seems to get a lot of traction. And it happens on both sides. And I'm not even talking about like the social stuff. Allie and I were talking about yesterday about why 2CP was removed from Overwatch.
Yeah.
And some of it had to do with dual tanks and 6v6. All right. So what's the right way to talk about that? You discuss it. Can you bring back 2CP now with 5v5 and only one tank? Possibly, you know, maybe Blizzard's looking at it. What's the wrong way to do it? The wrong way to do it is to just like bitch and complain on the forums ad nauseum,
right?
You know, until, you know, either you're banned or, right. Until, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't know how much of the forums Blizzard actually pays attention to. What does it take for something to bubble up at least to a point where somebody at Blizzard can look at this and say, oh, maybe we should discuss this in a meeting or something like that. Star Trek might be the same way. I don't know if they look at Reddit. I don't know. Like, I don't know what other forum they have. It's like, there's no official Star Trek forum. So I don't know what it takes. Is it Twitter? Is it podcasts? I don't know. I know far less about what happens on the Star Trek side than the Blizzard side. I mean, I know one or two people that work there, but they're not going to give me the answers, you know?
Right.
So any time that people are passionate about something, you're going to get, for lack of a better term, zealots.
Yeah.
And you have that in WoW, and you have that in Star Trek, and you have that in anything. Hell, you have it in Supernatural, for God's sakes. Like, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's like, you know, you have all these people that's like, well, this should be this way. It's like, well, I don't know if that answers your question, but I just found that there are similarities between the two. But I guess the difference is that, like I said, now that I'm thinking about it, Star Trek doesn't have an official way to discuss anything, whereas WoW does. WoW has its form,
right? Yeah.
So anything that happens in Star Trek has to be done over social media completely. WoW might have a combination of social media and its forums, and I think that's where you would see things happen, you know, possibly. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
I talked a lot about that.
No, it's good. Like, it just, you know, it seems like there's some similarities. I think I like your description of, like, in every fandom, like, there's going to be the zealots, right? And it's, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Alun shouldn't do this. Why did Alun do that?
Like, who is Alun?
Who's Alun?
What is happening?
Yeah, it sounds like if the Trek had a forum, it might be the same kind of shit show that WoW forum is.
Yeah, if or at not least worse.
The certain pockets of it, anyways.
Yeah.
The pockets, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Whew.
Well, I think that might wrap it up, because I'm all out of questions. Yeah. Unless you are, Allie.
I got nothing.
You got any questions for us?
No. No questions. For you guys specifically, I'm happy that you guys are doing this show, and I think it's necessary. And, you know, just like for someone like me who like, I pay attention to what's happening. It's like I said, it's just given it. It's fed to me in such a way where I just go, I forgot what happened yesterday. So to have a show where people can go and have two people that really pay attention to everything, I think is awesome. So I should probably listen more, and I don't. I'm sorry. Hey,
I'm, like, I'm behind on plenty of podcasts. It's totally fine.
I'm behind too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Audible just pinged me saying, you've got 5 credits. I was like, oh crap, I should probably use those.
Yeah. Yeah. But no questions. I just love what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And yeah, it is. And thank you for being here today. And thank you for being the godfather of podcasting. I know for myself, like, you and I have talked about this, but like, you definitely paved the way and were one of the inspirations. And your show got me through some hard stuff back in the day. And just, you know, you did great things with it. And now you get to enjoy the retirement or come back if you want. It's all out there, and it's all whatever you want to do, and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I thought to myself earlier, it's like, you know, if I was doing the Trek show, and I wouldn't be able to, like, I was working on something. I was fixing up something in the backyard. I was like, I wouldn't even be able to do this right now because I'd be prepping for the show, you know, and that's just it. I think everybody has a hobby, and, you know, some people's hobbies last forever and some don't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I've got plenty of hobbies that I've ditched.
Yeah. I have a box of models in the garage that I got to get to.
What kind of models?
So it's all like science fiction stuff.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So I'll tell you a funny story. So I built this, you know, when I was 8 years old, right? I get this model of the Eagle from Space 1999. Right? And I did a horrible job, but I kept it in the box. And so what I did was I said to myself, all right, I'm going to build this right. And it took me weeks to learn how to paint correctly. I had to take, like, luckily the glue was fragile after like so many years that I was able to like pull the pieces apart. But it took me a really long time to get the right equipment and the airbrush. I had to buy like an expensive airbrush thing to do it right. And just all the right paint, because you can buy the wrong paint. I learned that the hard way. The end result. Like, I'm telling you this because the end result was I'm part of this Space 1999 forum on Facebook, and I posted a picture, and the guy who designed the Eagle for the show said, you did a great job with
doing that. That's awesome.
Like, okay.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It's like, now I can retire from model making too.
I have achieved.
But
I have arrived.
You know, like, things like that. It's like, you know, you look at things and there are some really great YouTube videos. There are people out there, like, I got to say this. I love the egoless people on YouTube. I really do. The people that just want to help, like sort of like what I do, like what you guys do. It's like no ego. You're just having a lot of fun. You're telling people what to do. Here's how you wire things. Here's how you paint things. So right now, my next one is a Colonial Viper from Galactica, from the original show. I've got a scale, a studio scale model of a TIE fighter. I got a Back to the Future DeLorean. What else? Oh, I have a 3-foot Enterprise that I got to put together.
Well, which version of the Enterprise? Like
I have both the TOS and the motion picture refit.
Nice. Okay.
They're both like 3 feet long.
That's awesome. So,
but those I'm not going to touch until I like learn to do the smaller ones better and sort of like build up to that.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us for Model Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
No, I had a great time. I said to Allie asked me, do you want to be on the show? I'm like, I would say no to everybody else but you guys.
That is actually exactly what he said.
Well, you heard it here first, and folks.
I was very touched. The only place you
get Michael Gaines from and Starman himself from out of retirement. Yep. Yeah, this has been awesome, though. I haven't had a ton of fun. I feel like you and the podcast and everything like that you've done, just I didn't really start playing until Wrath. So there was just, mm-hmm. I feel like I just missed out so much on those early days that everyone talks about with all the nostalgia,
yeah.
The fact that there was even the private server community and trying to reclaim those glory days, because apparently it was so great. I just kind of look at it and go, I wasn't there.
Yeah. I love Classic. I absolutely adore Classic. I really do. I'm very thankful to Blizzard for doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you think you do, but you don't. No, we do. We do.
And they learned.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
All right,
same thing with the whole phones thing. Yep.
I think we're finally done, right? Are we done, Allie? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're good.
All right.
We can start wrapping up here.
Oh yeah, I forgot. That's my turn.
That's your job.
That's my job. All right. So we are done. That's right, everyone. It is a part of the show. We have to say a quick thank you to all of our patrons that support this awesomeness and, you know, allow us to do amazing things like this episode right here. So if you would like to join the ranks of those that keep the show going, you can do so by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore. And just like the returning champ, he is back. It is Sarith. How you doing, Sarith? I'll see you in October. I'm looking forward to running that marathon and grabbing a bite of some fantastic pizza out there in Chicago with you. So thank you so much, Sarith, for signing back up. Looking forward to that. But we also have to say a huge, amazing thank you to all of our top patrons. And that goes to, number one, the, you know, freaking heel lead of Timbermaw Tavern herself, Lex Rance. That's right. It is Lex Rance. Thank you so much for being a patron. As well as Mikey Valhalla. You're not going to say
Mikey
that
Mikey.
There it is. Mikey Mikey.
Mikey Mikey.
Got to say Mikey Mikey. Shalil, Nick Alobre, Craig Lemus, Ickes. Okay, of course, Sarith. How you doing, Sarith? Once again. Nedun, Knight Warrior, Mud, Aphrodon, Dungeon Master Burke, Greybeard, and Dracoris. Thank you so much, every single one of you, for the support. You're amazing.
Stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story.
We like to end every episode on a positive note. And considering that we took time to talk about the Warcraft community today, it makes sense to include one that involves the Warcraft community. So over there on Twitter, at BricksLove.
Lovey?
Pretty sure it's Lovey. It's two I's, two X's, lots of E's. On the Twitters a couple weeks ago, explained the story that they went into an antique store and bought the physical copy of Wrath of the Lich King. You know, like the infamous one that mentions the dance studio that we never got. Still Aww. Bitter about. I want my dance studio.
Really?
Anyways, when Bree opened it, she found a picture that someone took of two good friends just being goofy. And it was dated March 2008. And she actually asked the community for help to help her find who was in the picture so she couldn't return to them. And so over 200 people retweeted this. I know like the actual World of Warcraft account retweeted it. I saw Christy Golden retweeted it. A bunch of people did, obviously. And thanks to the effort of the community, the guys were actually found, which is awesome. So they are Captain FX94 and E_Rock915 on Twitter. And they're best friends, and they still are. They've been friends since they were kids. They posted a whole bunch of pictures of them together as kids up to, you know, well, I'm guessing his early 20s. Picture them now as full-grown adults. One of them still plays. One of them plays just kind of off on so they could play together. It's just this heartwarming mission that the community went on to go find these guys in some random picture. And like, who would have thought that, like, out of all the possible people that could have seen the scene, like they found it, which is just awesome. And to see that they're still friends playing together is even more awesome. It just kind of goes to show how the community can come together for each other and how we've all bonded over this silly game over the years.
That is freaking awesome. I love that. I can't believe they so actually
they were found.
That's so cool when you find people like
that's
that.
That's great.
Where they managed to be like, who's in this photo? I think what more interesting is, what does it feel like to be the two people that were found? We're like, hey, that's me.
Right?
That's awesome, though. I love it when that kind of stuff happens.
So fun. Love it.
Well, again, thank you so much, Starman, for joining us. I know you said you're not into social media. You're not really doing the podcast anymore. But if there's anything that you'd like to plug, let people know where you're hanging out these days. Where can people find you? If there is
any. Nowhere.
Nowhere?
All right. Nowhere.
He's hiding.
I still have the same account on Twitter, but like I'm hardly ever there anymore.
Yeah.
Starmike on Twitter. It's like, but I don't know what to tell you. If you're expecting anything... But please have low expectations.
Same.
Maybe some pictures of models.
Pictures of models. That's about it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been an absolute blast, and it is time for us to get out of here.
Thank you so much for listening to Live, Laugh, Lore. If you have a topic or a question you'd like us to discuss, send us an email at livelaughlorecast@gmail.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore, and you can keep the show going for as little as $1 an episode. You can watch Ali live on Twitch Sunday nights over at twitch.tv/aliandris, and you can watch Jin Monday nights at twitch.tv/jinsjoint. You can also follow the show on Twitter at live_laugh_lore. You can follow Jin on Twitter at Jin's Joint, and you can follow Ali at Ali_K. Meanwhile, be kind and take care.